Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and we used to say we'll have a crisis every 12 hours. Now it's like every 12 minutes, but this is not a crisis. Our discussion here with Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money, this is going to be informative. It's going to be about economic trends, what we perceive coming, how each president might differ, particularly with Trump. We have a lot of information on Trump on how he's going to handle things other than the dollar. And this is information I think everybody needs. So take off your conspiracy hats here. Okay, we can rest easy for a few minutes here. Hopefully, we won't have any assassination attempts from the beginning of the interview until the end. Okay, but this will be a sane interview because things have been absolutely crazy. Guy, it's good to have you back. And I have to tell you, the dollar's in trouble. The BRICS are killing it. Our own spending is killing it. And I don't know why anyone would keep most of their money in the bank with a depreciating asset. I have no clue. And especially their retirement. People, if banks fail, they can keep it because of Dodd-Frank. We've talked about that before. But I want to get your perspective on a couple of things. And first of all, it's really great to have you back.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
And, I wanted to start out with this and a softball question, okay? What's the general market expectation? And if there's a cut, how will the market react in your opinion?
Yeah, so I assume you're asking because the Fed, upcoming Fed meeting, it's today, but it's a 2-day meeting. And yeah, the general expectation is that there's going to be a 25 basis point cut. There is also, maybe I'd say about a 50% chance, that the rate cut is higher at 50 basis points. Generally, it's a good thing for risk on assets like stocks and, crypto, because it increases the liquidity in the market. But when the rate cut, is on the higher side, it could, in the short term, have a negative effect on the market, on the prices. Because it could signal to people that it's, recession is coming and there's something, broad, bigger, that's coming, right? And when it's a smaller rate cut, then it could be seen as part of just like a normal, rate hike cycle or a rate cut cycle. Sorry. So if the rate cut is 50 basis points, it could, in the short term bring down the prices, but then in the long term is going to be good, right? Because it increases liquidity, and generally prices should be going up.
Well, that's kind of good news. It'll certainly make the economy look better, I think, in the eyes of the public, and I kind of see a political motive there. But generally, people that hold crypto, are they going to like the rate cut or not?
Yeah, generally, people in crypto like rate cuts, just because it frees up capital. People are looking
Got it.
to get higher returns, especially because they can't get those returns as much from, treasuries and bonds, or certificate of deposits. They're going to get a lower return, so they're usually going to look, for higher returns. So
Yeah.
crypto provides that.
Well, let me ask you a flip side question. Is there a situation where the opposite could happen and it wouldn't be good and the market pulls back?
Yeah, if the rate cut is too high, right? Because, like I was saying before, because it signals a recession, and so people could protect themselves, thinking that the economy is going to crash, and so in that case, it could cause a pullback, right? But I don't see there being a big pullback. It could just be temporary for a few days if the rate cut is higher. But yeah, I think generally it's a good thing.
Okay. All right. Another thing I want to talk to you about here is Trump. I kind of think he has the Midas touch. I mean, look how successful the man has been. And now he's got a new crypto business. What can you tell us about that? And is he going to be competition for you in the crypto world?
Yeah, so Trump actually had a Twitter Spaces discussion yesterday about this business called World Liberty Financial. I thought it was fascinating that he did this, this session, hours after his assassination attempt, right? Maybe like 12 hours later. I thought it was going to be canceled because, we've been anticipating this talk for a while. And he still did it. So that was kind of crazy. Yeah, actually it's supposed to be that while there's not a lot of detail, it's supposed to be essentially a platform that gives access to try to provide fairness to people, essentially giving credit to people that might not have the same access as others, right? And so that's kind of the vision of it, is that it's supposed to provide direct lending and borrowing. It's supposed to be built on Aave, which is actually a cryptocurrency that we have on our platform, which basically enables people to borrow directly from other people and to lend money.
Oh, okay. So you
As
get to
well.
almost be your own bank. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a more efficient way to borrow and more fair. Donald Trump Jr. was speaking last night on the Twitter spaces. And one of the things I thought was interesting, he was talking about how him and his family, the Trump family, have always had pretty good access to capital, right? And this economy runs on credit, right? And they've never had a problem. They usually can pick up a phone call, they can get millions of dollars, like that. Since they got into politics, he said it's been much harder. And he told a story about how he had a startup. And, one day his partner logged into the bank account and there was no money in there. So they started panicking. They weren't going to be able to make payroll. And basically, they found out that the bank cut them off, right? And they actually said, hey, we're sending you a cashier's check. So essentially, they closed the door on them, without any warning. And they've been having issues, ever since. With credit, and it could be politically, motivated. And he said certainly he's more privileged than a lot of other Americans still.
Sure.
But there's a lot of Americans that, they just have a hard time getting a loan, right? Or getting credit. And so that's kind of what drove him to work on this, right? Is to basically have a more fair platform. And I thought it was very interesting just because, the Democrats always paint the Trumps as kind of like wanting wealth to be exclusive, right? To basically Trump and his friends. But this is the opposite, right? This is aiming to really provide people access. And he talked about how, at downturns, they have access to assets. They're able to buy assets for pennies on the dollar. And, now others could have that same access. If they, during a down cycle, they may not have enough money to buy, a property or to invest. And so this helps give them access to capital, but also they spoke about kind of fractional real estate and how that's something that they're interested in too. And you would think they would want to have access to real estate all for themselves, but fractional real estate, like tokenized real estate, actually opens up the doors for people that may not have enough to buy a house to be able to invest, right? And so that's what this vision is all about of this company. And they're actually creating a coin, but that coin is going to be used to govern the platform. It's called a governance token. And initially, because of regulations, they're not able to offer it to the wider public, that token, only to accredited investors. But the platform is aimed at, the broader consumer, non-accredited consumer.
Okay.
So that's what that's about. And yeah, I found it interesting. I mean, he spoke for, a half hour. And then Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump spoke, and some of their other partners. So yeah, I think it's fascinating.
This is kind of wild, but I would welcome this. What if Trump, if he gets elected, actually plans to shift most transactions into Bitcoin to escape the consequences of a failing dollar? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could play a role. I mean, he spoke about in the past, using Bitcoin as for reserves, right?
Right.
And that, could protect us for sure. But yeah, but it, essentially, initially the dollar is still dominant, right? So initially, the point is, to use stable coins that are pegged to the dollar, and to just provide more access, right, and make the system more efficient and fair, right? And that's what it's about.
Okay, boy, I tell you, my mind is racing here. I thought maybe a dollar to crypto conversion, but I'm thinking the holders of debt would be in big trouble. But if you brought in crypto like the petrodollar, and instead of the petrodollar, you have the crypto dollar, is that practical at all?
Is it, can you repeat that?
Yeah. Okay. You know how we have the petrodollar where oil backs up the value of our dollar? What if we did the same thing with crypto and replacing the petrodollar, which is failing, and it became the standard backing up agent? Do you think there's a possibility that that could work, and would that strengthen the dollar?
I think in the long run, yeah, maybe in conjunction with other assets. But yeah, I mean, right now the market cap is, anywhere between 1 to 2 trillion, right? And may not be enough to on its own, right? But yeah, certainly it could play a role. I'm no,
Okay.
but I definitely think, yeah, it could play a role.
My goodness gracious here. Well, how is the community, the crypto community, reacting to the Trump news and what Trump is doing with crypto?
Yeah, I think generally they're very excited. He spoke at the Bitcoin conference a couple months ago, and people were very enthusiastic about a candidate, supporting openly crypto and, wanting to provide a regulatory framework around it, and wanting to fire the chair of the SEC, who's very anti-crypto per
Yeah.
se. People, especially just that alone, makes them very excited. So there's generally optimism, I'd say. They see it as a potential boom for crypto, for the mainstream adoption, particularly among Trump's voter base. But also there's still concerns at the same time that there are security risks, and I think the people that have built this platform, they also built another platform which was hacked. And so if there's some kind of hack that happens, that could be negative as well. So, I would say that, they have to be careful in terms of like scams and security and everything. They have to do it right. And there's some concern from the crypto community around that, but there's much more optimism than concern.
Yeah, I'm all optimistic on this because I know where the dollar's headed, and they can't reinflate the debt once the dollar crashes. You can't, a million times zero still zero. So I'm concerned from that aspect.
Yeah,
And
but
go
I
ahead.
mean, and you're right, but this is much more than just currency too, right? Blockchain provides
Sure.
a fair system, right? A more efficient system where there's less bureaucracy, and this kind of aligns with his whole message around wanting to get rid of regulations to make things more efficient, right? W wanting things to be just more common sense, more straightforward, right? And fair. And so this, blockchain, the whole concept of blockchain really kind of aligns with that. And you can say this all day long, but he's actually acting. I think that's the important part, is that he's putting his money where his mouth is. And there are people in the room, last night that spoke on a Twitter space that have actually been doing this successfully, and they're working with the Trumps. And so it's not just talk, right? And that's, I think, is the important part.
Yeah, I hear that entirely. Boy, let me tell you what the paranoid left is going to say. And I can hear it now as this becomes more known. He's going to be the one to usher in CBDC and you'll lose your financial freedom. And he'll control everything about your money and how you spend it because you'll be blockchained into slavery. Okay, now I'm role playing when I say that, guy. How would you respond to that comment? Because I guarantee I'm going to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, he said it explicitly that he wants to ban CBDCs.
Thank you. That's exactly right. Thank you.
Yeah, they're not cryptocurrencies. He spoke about the concern of privacy and being able to monitor and have too much control. And he's really not about that. He's about more decentralization, right? And more efficiency. So yeah, CBDC really is the opposite of this vision, right? So
Sure,
easy
sure.
one
His
to
option
find out.
is the complete 180 degree opposite of CBDC. Do you agree? Yeah.
I mean, it provides, they both provide some of the benefits in terms of, fast settlement times, And having it be digital, right? But one is centralized and one is completely, decentralized.
Okay, that
So
makes
one
perfect
power to
sense.
the people, and once and one and the other, the CBDC takes away power from the people, right? So one's about control and one's about less control. So
Okay. Let me ask you, what's the price, what's Bitcoin doing with price right now? Where's it at?
yeah, I think it's about 60. I haven't checked in a few hours. Yeah, it's at 60,000. It keeps going between, 55 to 60, anywhere between there. So it seems like 60,000 is the kind of resistance level right now. But a lot of analysts expect that it's going to break out and start spiking up next month in October. September is usually not the best month, and then the last quarter of the year tends to be better. But
Okay.
especially, depending on the outcome of the election, I mean, things could go well.
Speaking of the election guy, I asked you in our pre-air discussion about what you thought Kamala might do with crypto, and we kind of like, we don't know, we can only guess. We know what Trump's going to do. She's the regulation queen, though. Okay, so I don't think she's going to leave it alone. What do you think the worst thing? She can't ban it. So outside of banning it, what's the worst thing that she could do to crypto, in your opinion?
I think just letting things stay as they are, like leaving the head of the SEC in place. I mean, he's continuing to sue companies. They just issued a Wells notice against Robinhood. And Robinhood's been, in good faith going into the SEC office, trying to meet with them and trying to be compliant. But they're really not, acting like a partner in this, and they're going after Robinhood now. So,
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
yeah. So, if she leaves him in place and he continues to do what he's doing, that's not going to be good. And also, if she is not friendly to coming up with legislation, that really makes it clear what's a security, what's not a security, who has jurisdiction. And then, provide a path to be compliant, right? Provide a real path to registering with whichever the agency is that is monitoring this or is governing this. Like if it's the SEC, provide a way to be to register that's realistic, right? Because right now registration is really built for traditional finance, right? And there are things in blockchain and crypto that you can't really expect reasonably, right? Because of how just the nature of the technology. So you really have to provide on ramps, for registration that's tailored, for the industry, right? And so, that it's very clear that, they're an anti-crypto with how they're acting. And, if she
Yeah, I agree. And I would tell you, stop making so much sense, guy, because the common sense you're showing right now, I don't think will be evident in Kamala's administration. And I'm saying that objectively as I can.
yeah. And you're representing the Common Sense show, right? And
Yeah, I got to ask you about something that I don't know anything about. Okay. And I've heard someone, one person in my audience asked me about it. I said, I don't know, but I'm talking to a guy coming up. I'll ask him. Meme coins resurgence. What is this all about? What is it?
yeah, the meme coins, they're essentially, cryptocurrencies that are. It came out as a joke originally, where you're essentially just creating a coin like Dogecoin, or a lot of them are named or and have symbols that have to do with cats and dogs and frogs, So
Oh, keep them away from the Haitians, right? Okay, never mind.
yeah,
Sorry.
yeah. They should come up with a meme coin for that now, I think. But yeah, these are just it's kind of gambling, in my opinion, as I think I've said to you in the past. The prices go up and down based on, marketing stunts and, like celebrities, saying certain things. And it's really, the reason why you've heard of a surge is because the market cap went up about 100% in the last month, reaching about 50 billion. So, it really has boomed for some reason. But you are probably familiar with Dogecoin and Shiba. But there's a lot of other new ones like Floki coin, and there's like dog with hat or something like that's pretty popular. But I generally stay away, and I'm not offering advice. If you have money you can afford to lose and you want to play around and kind of just gamble, that's fine. But they don't have utility, like Bitcoin, which is a store of value, and like Ethereum, which is a smart contract platform where you can actually build, applications like decentralized finance, right? Where
Okay.
I can loan money to you directly. That would be built on something like Ethereum. So those ha actually have utility, and so those are the ones that I like to invest in, because first of all, they're popular, there's liquidity, and they're just much more safe, right? Not to say that they're safe, it's still volatile, but relative to other coins, those are the ones that I would start with, not meme coins.
There's a reason that I order vanilla ice cream cones. I don't think I would take a chance on this. This is multi-flavored. I'm sure it'll be for somebody. Do you
Yeah,
do
look, some people make money or some, but a lot of people lose money. And so
Yeah.
it's
Do you do anything with it with your business?
no, so we don't, we make it a point not to have
Okay.
coins. Since we're dealing with retirement, we really want to allow people to build that nest egg. And, if
Sure.
they're investing in a meme coin, then, and a lot of them, they could just go away overnight. So we rather, put ones on there that, really have a utility, and they're going to be valuable, have a better chance of being valuable. And, they have founders that are well known and the track record and all that. So,
Too much potential, I think, for Sam Bankman-Fried. So, I mean, that's just my bias, and I don't mean to speak for you, but when I hear this explained, I go, no, just give me crypto, Bitcoin, gold and silver, and I'm a happy camper. I don't need this exotic stuff. But the bottom line is, if Trump gets elected, crypto is going to explode, isn't it?
Yeah, I think either way, I think that crypto in the long run is going to go up, but in the short term, I think it'll be much better if Trump is elected. I think that it will, yeah, it will definitely get a boost.
I do have a final question for you, though. Okay, with gold, there's kind of an old saying: when the dollar dies, gold will rise. What's the relationship with crypto and a failing dollar?
Yeah, I think a lot of people see crypto as a hedge against a failing dollar as well, similar to gold. But in my opinion, it's more of a wealth building tool, like whereas gold is more of a wealth preservation tool. And it's good to have
Yeah.
both, right? I don't say to have one versus the other, but I do think, Bitcoin, for example, has like a bigger upside. I like to have both, of course. But yeah, it's a lot of people see that as a hedge too, right? It's outside of government control,
Exactly.
has limited supply, right? It's not like a dollar where you can print, as much as you want.
And that's a prescription for a disaster. Okay, so someone is going to contact me, more than someone. Some people are going to contact me and say, okay, I need to find out more about this crypto thing. I think I want to get involved with it. Your company's name is My Digital Money. Can you kind of give us the 411 on what people got to do when they want to know more?
Yeah, the simply mydigitalmoney.com. Click on Get Started. It takes 5 minutes to sign up, and we're here to answer, your call, which is very rare in this industry. And the number there is 833-636-2008. And you can call. We can help you sign up. We can answer any question about crypto. Just give you information that you need to make a decision. And you can do an IRA, and or you can do cash. Or you can do a play money account I've mentioned in the past as well, if you want to just practice and kind of try before you really invest, you can do that as well.
For the novice, I think that's a really good idea. It's a great service you offer. Do you have any agent involvement with that, or is it just someone they do it on their own?
In terms of
The
investing,
play, I'm sorry, the play account.
well, you can still call us and we can help you if you have a question about how to buy
Okay.
on there, how to use the platform. But yeah, you do it on your own generally. It's a self-traded
Cool.
trading platform. which goes well with the self-directed IRA, where you want to make the decision and kind of trade on your own. But we're here, right? And that's why
Okay.
we make it much more approachable for people.
So if you want to know more, mydigitalmoney.com. And Guy, could you give that phone number out one more time, please?
Yeah, 833-636-2008.
Okay. Always great to have you on. Thanks for the update. You just give me another reason to vote for Trump. Thank you very much. Guy,
Every time
take.
I speak,
Oh, I
I
got to ask you this. Hey, how's married life?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's not that different, but it's better. I don't know why. It's just things are easier now, so.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you. And I know things are going great at My Digital Money. So I'm happy for you there too. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Take care. We're going to ask you right now to share this with undecided voters that you're aware of. They need to see the lengths that the agencies of the federal government that have been weaponized against the American people, and in particular, in this case, Donald Trump, need to be exposed. We can't live under this kind of system. This is Stalinist Russia. There's no mistake about it. This is what we're living through right now. You can see in the enclosed caption here that we have the picture of Trump, and we also have a picture of the assassin, alleged assassin, Ryan Routh. And we're going to tell you what we know. And I'm not going to step too far out on the ledge right now. I'm going to probably save that for tomorrow because there's what you know and what you can prove. I'm going to give you right now what we can prove. And I'll tell you right off the top, what we can prove is the Secret Service at the operational level is complicit again in an attempted assassination of a presidential candidate and a former president. And I believe they have also pulled in the county sheriff to their little plan as he tried to explain away yesterday his incompetence. So we'll get into that. We are brought to you by Magic Dicol Products. And I went from, this is amazing. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs in March, early March. I'm effectively placed on death row. These lung linings may not come back at your age, and oxygen, shorter lifespan, VO2 will collapse. Yeah. So I was determined, and I have a little bit of the credit. There was some divine intervention, but my friend Scotty Sachs gave me this NanoSoma spray, maintenance dose to keep the devil away. Five times, five sprays, one time a day. I was doing it every hour on the hour because you can't OD because it's completely natural. And it strengthens your immune system. It doesn't cure anything by itself, but it has universal applicability. Absolutely has universal applicability. And what I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, is this, is that I am now training to do a Norwegian 4x4. That's hard to do. And I'm about maybe 25%, a little more than that, into the training. And what you do in the Norwegian 4x4 is you run as fast as you can maintain steady state cardio for 4 minutes. And I always overestimate what I can do. I mean, I get out of there like a long distance runner that's going to burn out, and that's often what I've done. But I'm now to the point where I can do a 4 minute steady state, and then you rest for four, and then you run four, rest for four. And so that's a 32-minute workout with, and I'll tell you, this is associated with anti-cancer, anti-Alzheimer's, all the research physiologists and the latest research points to this. Your heart can be reversed in age by about 20 years. And I would not be where I'm at today had it not been for this. I had licked the pneumonia, but the RSV after effects were devastating. And here I am, a little over 6 months later, training for something that people in their 30s and 40s do. As good or bad as I look, I'm not in my 30s or 40s. I want to bring you the same opportunity to turn your life around physically the way I have. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And I'll check in with you and let you know how my progress is going. But I think this is probably about a 6 month protocol till I'm really up to what they call world-class athletes can do. Do I think I'm going to get there? Well, I'm sure as hell going to try. And I'll tell you what, my health and my longevity is going to be improved as a result. All right, I want to get into the Trump situation here. God puts you in places to do work. And I'm really beginning to recognize that because people used to say to me, Dave, you spent a lot of time going around on radio shows. This is in the 90s, early 2000s. And you talk to schools and history classes and your guests of professors and do this. And first of all, I'm honored that people would even listen to me. I was. And I'd put together a presentation, a slide presentation, evolved into a video presentation. But it really taught me how to analyze stuff like this. Tremendous exposure on what goes on. I know Secret Service protocols pretty darn well. I don't know them like Dan Bongino, and some of them are secret. And he said he can't compromise certain things by telling. And I don't have that information, but I have a lot. And I know some of the inside stuff from what whistleblowers have told me. And what I can tell you right now is there is clear intent from Director Rowe of the Secret Service and his operational stooges to have Donald Trump assassinated. The best case scenario is that they've compromised his security to the point where a lone nut could actually get the job done. Yeah, a lone nut could actually get the job done. So they're hoping by continual compromising of the president and giving people access to line of sight access, AK-47 with a scope, 300 to 400 yards away. That's a turkey shoot. Had this Secret Service agent not spotted him and started shooting, Donald Trump probably wouldn't be here right now. This guy had the ability to pull this off. He didn't stay concealed, and as long as he should have, Trump would have been within 300 yards if the shooting would have happened about 45 seconds to a minute later. And this is what we're getting. I want to go to the county sheriff because I believe he's involved in the compromising of the security. He said, well, Donald Trump is not the president, so he doesn't get the same protection the president gets. We would have closed off the streets because the access to where Trump was shot was off a street. You got all kinds of shrubbery you can hide in, and you can park your getaway car, which this guy did. So he was not a lone nut assassin in terms of he didn't want to escape. He did escape. Fortunately, someone got a description of his car, or they knew ahead of time and leaked it to law enforcement so they could capture him, hoping he would be killed in a shootout. I have to tell you, I have no confidence in the federal government to get to the bottom of what this guy was about, but real interrogation techniques, and yes, I'm saying things like what we did in Iraq with waterboarding and so forth, we would find out what he was all about. But let me tell you what I know about what he's all about. Shall we get into him? They've already painted him in the media as a lone nut assassin. Traffic offense led to a 3-hour standoff. He's been arrested for not having insurance, reckless driving, and drug possession. Okay, so they've created the MO. He's a lone nut assassin. He's of the dregs of society. And I'm going to tell you right now, with what we've learned on the flip side of someone like that with this profile, and he is someone that the CIA would use, and they did use him. I don't have to sit in a CIA operational meeting and said, let's use this Routh character to promote the war in Ukraine. But they did. This man was allowed to travel to Afghanistan. The Taliban accepted him as he tried to recruit Afghan soldiers. It's being reported now. And it's kind of running in the face of this lone nut assassin with a real questionable background, because see, that doesn't disqualify him from being an operative of the CIA and being a contract agent. And this is what I believe this all points to. I've seen reports that looked into him and his contacts with people in Ukraine and in Romania, and where he was trying to recruit soldiers to go into Ukraine to fight, thus bolstering the force, because they're running out of men in Ukraine. They're kidnapping young teenagers off the street and old men over 50. That's a fact, folks. That's been reported here and other places. So this man's job was to recruit people to go in. And people that have been contacted now are saying, well, he spoke with the force and sophistication of a diplomat. That's a quote of a diplomat. This is not your lone nut assassin. And the fact that he knew where Trump was going to be, are you listening to what I'm telling you? The fact that he knew where he was going to be, and he was at the most vulnerable point of Trump's protection, is not an accident. Back in 1963, Trump, or excuse me, John Kennedy was supposed to stay on Main Street going 35 to 40 miles an hour on the way to the Trade Mart to deliver a fundraising speech. My uncle owned a tool and die business on Main Street. Yeah, now he didn't like Kennedy. He calls up my aunt, and he had not yet heard Kennedy had been shot, and it was about 12:45 when he called my aunt. And my uncle said, "Where's Kennedy? I thought he was coming here. I wonder if someone shot him." And he always felt bad about saying that. And my aunt said, "You haven't. You better turn on the radio. The president's been shot, and he's probably dead." That was their conversation. I've had that conversation with him and my aunt, who've both passed. Interesting that Kennedy's route went from Main Street and was changed 3 days before the assassination by a guy named Cabell, he was in the Dallas Police Department. He was the brother of Deputy Director Cabell of the CIA that was fired with CIA Director Allen Dulles over the Bay of Pigs fiasco and circumventing presidential authority. And then the president turned on to Elm, Houston, then on to Elm. And when he's going around the corner approaching the grassy knoll where the fatal headshot was fired, he was going 14 miles an hour. That's a Secret Service violation. Compromised the Secret Service. There's other violations too. I'm not going to go into that now. But what I'm telling you right now is they knew where the president would be most vulnerable. And this is where they placed the assassins. This was an inside job in Dallas in 1963. Knowing where to place this assassin in the most vulnerable part, right off the street, getaway car, okay, do the shot, you're out, you're speeding off. And had it not been for someone spotting the car, he probably would have got away. This was a designed kill and escape, not a suicide mission, not a lone nut assassin, not caring about the consequences. This was a sophisticated assassination. And there's no other word for it. And here you got the mealy-mouthed county sheriff. And I agree with the congressman from Tennessee yesterday, said this guy should be fired and he should be investigated. Well, so should Director Rowe be investigated. Because they said, well, we can't block off the streets. This is what the sheriff said, because he's not the president, he's not entitled. Wait a minute. Is he not entitled to the same level of protection as his political opponent for the presidency, Kamala Harris? Trump is not even getting the same protection as the first lady. So you're telling me that a former president and a presidential candidate leading in the polls doesn't deserve more protection than the first lady? Who gives a crap about that big mouth whiner? Nobody. Nobody. Yet on the day of the first assassination attempt, she had 12 Secret Service agents regular, and Trump had four and supplemented by a bunch of goons who didn't know what the hell they were doing. Poorly trained, poorly executed, total line of sight, not covered. Same thing here. Same thing here. And this goes into an assassin who's been to Ukraine. been to Romania to recruit soldiers, been to Afghanistan, which you should be going, whoa. You can see now I have his picture there, and if you're listening on audio, I'll describe it. He's a Caucasian, and he's going into Afghanistan to recruit soldiers. You see, the whole Afghan withdrawal was to arm the Taliban. That's the way it was designed. They could have, protocol says you, if you can't take your equipment with you, you blow it up. You destroy it so your enemy can't use it. They didn't do that. That would have been easy to do. What Biden did was illegal. What the generals did was illegal. They should have challenged the orders, but they didn't. And they didn't because this was the plan. So we have a Biden allegiance with the Taliban with the transfer of weapons. Now we have a guy going there, an American, an enemy of the Taliban, someone they should kill, definitely working for the CIA, and he's recruiting Afghan soldiers to go into Ukraine. Oh my gosh. And then he wrote a book, and this guy's not a book writer. And in the book, he said, I should be assassinated and Trump should be assassinated because I voted for him and look what he's done. And he won't stand up to Putin, blah, 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 blah. This is called planting evidence ahead of time for plausible deniability if you want to use him as an assassin. That's a fact. That's the way it's done. With Lee Oswald, they had him be in something called Fair Play for Cuba. And he passed out these leaflets condemning John Kennedy. They were building the profile of a Marxist communist who wanted to kill a president. And so, by the way, do you know how many people were in the Fair Play for Cuba committee? One, Lee Oswald. Do you know where he was passing out the leaflets? In New Orleans. And what building was he in front of? Well, he was in front of a building where they would run guns into New Orleans and then transfer those guns to Lake Pontchartrain Springs, Louisiana, to train the Cuban refugees to invade Cuba in the Bay of Pigs operation, and Oswald was providing cover. And that's called creating the mentality. And then he allegedly wrote a diary, but the handwriting expert said he wrote this over 2 days' time, and they alleged it was over months. And what did he say in the diary? Anti-Kennedy, pro-communist. The same identity has been created for this guy here. See, I'm telling you, they're not deviating from the Kennedy playbook. The one of two things is going to happen next. And this is what I think everyone needs to really understand. One of two things is going to happen. And I want you to hear me very clearly on this. They're either going to use someone to try to kill Trump, and they're going to blame the Iranians because they want war with Russia, and the war to Russia might be through Iran. Might be. That's one thing they could do. The other thing they're going to do is do what Doug Thornton and I have talked about for years. When Doug was still active DHS, he said, and he came on my show, you know, we couldn't show his face. We used the name Wrecker. And he said, we've had high-level discussions that a high-level profile assassination would be a mass casualty event. No one's going to believe the Kennedy assassination if they follow that model. That's why we were shocked in Butler. But as we learned in Butler, and I'll be going on Doug Hagman's show, who's been on the ground with a team of six people investigating this, we're going to compare notes on the air on Doug Hagman's show on Thursday morning. And the bottom line is, with all this stinks to high heaven, because in both assassinations, they have something in common. They have the fall guy, okay? And what's really going on behind the scenes with a compromised Secret Service, JFK, compromised Secret Service. Bobby Kennedy had no Secret Service. His son, Bobby Kennedy Jr., no Secret Service. He and Tulsi Gabbard are extreme risk for assassination, and these people will stop at nothing. This is the model that they have inadvertently exposed to people like me. You're going to hear stories like this all day long from people who understand the Kennedy assassination because we understand the model. We understand how they put it together. Each and every time, you have to have a compromised Secret Service. Because you say, well, he's not entitled to block off the streets. Okay, this county sheriff, like I said, needs to be investigated. But What they could have done was requisition more people and stationed those agents at the vulnerable points, like on the streets where hole number five, golf course hole number five was. They should have stationed those people there on the streets as security. They didn't have a drone in the air, which could have detected heat signature in the foliage. Another clear, intentional stand down by Director Rowe of the Secret Service, who I'm naming as complicit in this assassination attempt. I want him investigated by Congress, and he needs to answer the question, where was your drone? And then they need to start legal proceedings and demand that Merrick Garland do his job. Put these people on the spot. And who benefits from all this at the end of the day? The puppet representing the deep state named Kamala Harris. That's it for the Common Sense Show. For your edification, I'm Dave Hodges. You can't dodge the Hodge. Check us out over at thecommonsenseshow.tv. Real problems, real solutions. That's why we get 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. Sign up today, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We're going to be covering what's going on in Springfield. Not going to have to be a lengthy report, but there's some stuff going on that's very disturbing. And for our information, I have to draw upon Paul Preston and Michael Yon, who recently guested on Paul Preston's show. And you're thinking, whoa, what does that have to do with Springfield? Oh, it has a lot to do with Springfield. And we're going to tell you all about it right here on the show. We're brought to you by something that you're going to need with what's going on. You can do nothing, or you can listen to what I'm going to tell you. And what I'm going to tell you is factual. The government historically, at least since the times of the Great Depression, have used subsidies to farmers to control output. Well, with regard to meat processing and shipping, subsidies are paid too. Biden's administration just withdrew the subsidies for this process. That means that your meat is going to be on very short supply. And if you notice what's already happening to the prices of meat, what used to be regular price is now what they're calling the sales price. We discovered that when my wife was shopping yesterday. You need to understand this is happening across the board. They're preparing to limit your choices in food severely, and there's going to be supply chain disruptions. You need to have storable food. It is not an option. It's like insurance for your home or your car. You need to have the insurance of storable food. 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality food, lots of diversity of food. You won't get sick of eating the same thing. 2,500 calories a day because you're not looking to lose weight. When you're into your storable food, you're looking to stay alive. So you need high caloric content. Now, what are you going to do? It's easy. Go to preparewithdave.com, and what you'll discover when you're there, $300 off the 3-month emergency special. They've never done this before. Go to preparewithdave.com. So, a little clip from the debate. And what we're going to do here is play Donald Trump's just stupidly outrageous claim. Eating dogs and cats? Oh, you gotta be kidding. Listen to how silly the former president sounds.
What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Ferrari, and I am
here.
The
I'm
CEO
sorry
of
about
Phoenix
this.
Capital Group.
When you know.
We look forward to you joining us at our next investor webinar.
Okay.
Phoenix Capital Group has over 4,300
what
unique investors, just like you,
reporting.
Have collected.
We'll try this again without the commercial cut in. Thank you, ABC. Okay, here we go.
By allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country. And it's a shame.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the bottom line is here, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to X out of this here. Sorry about the awkwardness of this. As you see, Kamala Harris's immature reaction. I mean, she acted like a 10-year-old kid. Rather than being stoic and presidential, she acted like a 10-year-old child. But anyway, that aside, boy, Trump has taken heat. J.D. Vance went on Meet the Press yesterday. He handed himself, he said, it's true. Yeah, it is true. Dave Yost, the attorney general of Ohio, contradicted the governor, Mike DeWine. Said, that's not happening. The officials who are being paid to allow these immigrants in, and they're being supported by the big businesses that are getting the cheap labor on top of the $1,600 a month, your tax dollars are going to these Haitian immigrants. Dave said, the attorney general, it's happening. We've seen testimony at city council meeting. It's happening. Cats, dogs, geese. Well, okay, very quickly. Michael Yon was on Paul Preston this last week. We all know Michael Yon, border expert extraordinaire, no one better than Michael. No one. He has no peer. He's been investigating cannibalism around the planet, and he's looked at Haiti. Here's the Haitian progression, and I want you to hear this clearly. So now I'm going to get laughed at, but this is Michael Yon saying it on Agenda 21 Radio with Paul Preston, biggest digital radio show in America. And Michael Yon said, here's your progression with Haiti. It's geese. It's cats. It's dogs. And it's children. And this is what's going on in Haiti. That's your progression. The people in Springfield don't need to just worry about the safety of their pets. They need to worry about the safety of their children. And that's according to the most well-respected expert on the border and all the chicanery. He's the one that exposed the fact that NGOs were transporting kids illegally into the United States with the support of the Biden administration. We've since learned laundered money to the Biden administration, J.J. Carell. Yeah, we covered that on our interview with him. You think I'm kidding? This is going on across the planet in many locations, and Michael Yon's on top of it. So we have the Attorney General of Ohio saying it's true. We have testimony at city council meetings, but they're not credible, according to Rhino Governor Mike DeWine. Why is this clown in office? He's an ass clown. He should be out of office. This is going on. The citizens are saying it, and they're going to continue to dump more people in this community, wreck this town. And this is the same kind of denial we're seeing in Aurora from their officials, both from the governor on down to the mayor of Aurora, where they're poo-pooing and under-exaggerating the events. And here's the bottom line. It's all because they're sanctuary cities and they get federal money for this, and that's their motivation. This is happening, and soon the people in Springfield, they better be with their children every minute of the day. Two people have already been killed by Haitians in this town. That should be enough right there. Anyway, that's the story from Springfield, Ohio. I'm Dave Hodges. You've been watching The Common Sense Show. Check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv. Real stories, real problems with real solutions, which sets us apart from the rest. And you can access this by going to Dave Hodges. Excuse me. Scratch that. It's Dave Hodges' site. It's thecommonsenseshow.tv. That's thecommonsenseshow.tv. We'll see you back here next time.